Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to continue our series of lessons from the book of Proverbs. We're going to be spending a little bit of time in Proverbs chapter 3 this evening, Lord willing, next week. We are looking at the various exhortations of Proverbs chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, says that we are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The book of Proverbs, as you know, is a treasure chest full of wisdom. Wisdom is basically the application of knowledge. Wisdom helps us to make the right choices. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do as New Testament Christians, as we go through this life, to make the right choices, to demonstrate the wisdom that is from above. And in so doing, you're going to redeem the time. You're going to let your light shine. You'll live in a way that will attract others to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the book of Proverbs. The more I study the Word of God, the more I find myself going to the book of Proverbs, to these wise sayings. You'll notice that many of the Proverbs that we will be looking at are easy to memorize. For example, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. You talk about a verse that will help you as you go through life. Proverbs 3, verse number 5, can help you in so many different ways. And we'll highlight some of those things here in just a few minutes. But last week, we began with Proverbs chapter 3, and we really focused on the first exhortation of Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 2. And that exhortation is to obey God. Solomon says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And then in verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." When we go back to Colossians 4, verse number 5, if we're going to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, if we're going to make good decisions, wise decisions as we go through this life, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to study it. We need to live it out. We are prone to forget, as we emphasized last week. And that's why we should study, hopefully, on a daily basis. Remember, God's Word is our spiritual food. And we're to have a spiritual craving for the Word of God. In Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness." We need to be reminded of what God's Word says. If we're not studying God's Word, if we're not being exhorted from the Word of God, we will forget the Word of God. In the Old Testament, there's a passage in the book of Hosea. In Hosea 8, verse number 12. And God is speaking to His people when He says these words, "I have written to them the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." What the prophet Hosea was saying to the people that came from God was counted as a strange thing because they didn't want to hear the Word of God. They had forgotten the Word of God. The same idea is also seen in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5, where the Apostle Peter says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." And then Peter is going to list out things that we're to add to our faith: virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness. And Peter would go on to explain that if we continue to add these things to our faith, we will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Peter would go on to say that if we're not doing those things, we could even get to the point that we forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. We don't want to forget. We want to be reminded of God's Word, and we want to be obedient to God's Word. And you see that principle. And remember, it's a principle, verse number 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." And I would jot down Psalm 90, verse number 10, by verse number 2. You see, when we live according to God's Word, His standard, we're going to live a good life. There's a sense where, physically speaking, we will live a healthy life because we're going to think about how we live. The way of the transgressor, Proverbs 13, verse 15, is hard. And you and I have seen people who've lived a hard, hard life. And so we need to pay close attention to what God says. And so as you're reading here through Proverbs chapter 3, as we've been talking about, we said that there are six exhortations in the first 12 verses. The first exhortation, as we just mentioned, obey God, verses 1 through 2. Well, tonight as we begin looking at verses 3 and 4, we're going to look at the second and third exhortation. Verses 3 and 4, we're exhorted to remember God. And then verses 5 and 6, we are exhorted to trust God. Remember God. Trust God. As you think about verse number 3, remember God. I realize the word remember isn't seen in the verse. But you read verse 3 carefully. Listen to what it says. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. When you stop and think about mercy and truth, those are characteristics of God, qualities of God. In other words, God is merciful. He's plenteous in mercy, according to Psalm 103, verse number 8. Plenteous in mercy. God is also a God of truth. God cannot lie. And these are the qualities that should be seen in our lives. Mercy and truth. And so mercy and truth are qualities, characteristics of God. They characterize who our God is. One person said this, mercy and truth are marks of perfection. Stop and think about that. Marks of perfection. I think about that statement. It reminds me of spiritual maturity. We are to be perfect in that sense, and that's how the Bible uses the word perfect in speaking about God's children. Note Matthew chapter 5. We're to be perfect even as our Heavenly Father. The idea is not sinless. God knows that we will never be able to reach that pinnacle of living a sinless life. As long as we're in the flesh, we're going to struggle with sin. But we can be mature. We can be grown-ups, spiritually speaking. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about being the children of God and how we should grow up and not be tossed around as children, carried about every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4, verse number 15. And so as you think about mercy and truth being marks of perfection, those who demonstrate spiritual maturity will likewise have these qualities that we see in our great God. We too will be merciful and truthful. Look at Psalm 85, verse number 10. Psalm 85, verse number 10. As we think about mercy and truth from Psalm 85, verse number 10, when mercy and truth are met together, it leads to a wonderful thing. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 85, verse number 10. When mercy again and truth are met together, listen to it, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Look at another passage in the book of Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, the passage that we're looking at. Still talking about mercy and truth from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Notice what mercy and truth lead to. Mercy and truth will lead to, notice this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of men. And so mercy and truth are spiritual qualities that should define who we are as the children of God. And notice how Solomon states this in a very unique way in verse number 2. Concerning mercy and truth, he says, bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of your heart. Bind them upon your neck like somebody wearing a necklace. Put them in your heart. I believe Solomon in these two statements is talking about the outward and inward. As we emphasized this morning, spirituality begins inwardly and it works outwardly. Let your light shine outwardly. But in order to let your light shine, your heart, your life has to be right inwardly. And so, mercy and truth, write them upon the table of your heart inwardly. Wear them like a necklace upon your neck outwardly. That is, live out mercy and truth. Here's the idea in verse number 3. Allow mercy and truth to rule your life. That's the idea. Allow mercy and truth to rule your life. Or what are we talking about here in verse number 3 when we consider this quality of being merciful? We're talking about a certain individual, a special kind of individual, we might say. A merciful person has these qualities. They are gentle, they are gracious, and they are forgiving. They don't hold grudges. They don't go off on people. They don't hurt people. A merciful person, again, is gentle, gracious, forgiving. Again, describes who God is, but it also should characterize who we are as the children of God. The righteous, Psalm 37, verse number 21, the righteous, that's you and me, showeth mercy. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Another great passage on mercy, or the idea of mercy, is seen in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse number 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. Notice that last part. Again, it is his glory to pass over transgression. The only person that will pass over transgression is a merciful person. Remember what we said about our God. He is merciful. God holds back the judgment that we deserve because He is kind. He is gracious. And He gives us the opportunity to make things right with Him. Notice another verse in the New Testament as it relates to mercy. And to me, this is probably one of the most important points as it relates to mercy. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And this is why mercy is so important. And this is why we are to write or have mercy upon the table of our heart and that we're to wear it upon our necks. Notice James 2 verse number 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, James says, that has showed no mercy. You're talking about a passage that is sobering, that is thought-provoking. Listen to it again. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. But James goes on to say, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Do you know what we need on the day of judgment more than anything? We need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. And we know that mercy is found in Christ Jesus. But we've also learned, if we're going to be an ideal disciple of Christ, we're also seeing here in Proverbs chapter 3 that if we're going to walk in wisdom, we have to be a certain kind of individual. Not somebody that holds grudges, but somebody that is gracious and kind and forgiving. And why are we merciful? Because God is merciful to us. But God wants His children to understand that if we go through this life and if we receive God's mercy, but we're not willing to extend mercy to others, we won't receive mercy on the day of judgment. And so when it comes to mercy, we need to remember that God is merciful to us, and therefore we should be merciful to Him. Not only are we to bind mercy upon our neck and have mercy in our hearts, you'll notice that Solomon says, let not mercy, and the second thing is truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. Truth is that commitment to whatever is honest and right, regardless of the cost. That commitment to what is right, regardless of the cost. Being that honest person, regardless of the cost. When I think about mercy and truth and how these two are used here in this verse, it reminds me of the balance that we must demonstrate as New Testament Christians. Perhaps you've seen individuals that might be zealous for truth, strong for truth, but they might not be very gracious or kind or merciful. You might even see individuals that talk a lot about mercy and love and forgiving one another, but perhaps they're not very honest or truthful. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit uses these two together. And when we have that balance that we see here in verse number 3, we are going to be a gentle and honest individual. And I believe that is the picture that Solomon is painting here in verse number 3. We are to be a gentle and honest individual. And when mercy and truth characterize us, like mercy and truth characterizes God, two wonderful blessings will occur. And you'll see that in verse number 4. Listen to it. So shalt thou find favor or grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Again, when mercy and truth characterize us, when we live out these qualities, showing that spiritual maturity, that spiritual perfection, if you please, Solomon says you will find favor, not only with God, but also with man. You will find good understanding, not only with God, but with man. Good understanding, some translations, a good reputation. You'll find favor and you will have a good reputation. We're always talking about goals. I believe in setting goals. I think young people should have goals. I think older people should have goals. Goals give us something to live for. They give us motivation. But do we have goals spiritually speaking? If you want a goal to reach spiritually speaking, allow Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to be your spiritual goal, and you'll be blessed, as we're noting from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 4. You see, when we strive to be that merciful and truthful person, do you realize that we are becoming imitators of our God as His children? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we are encouraged to be imitators of God. If God is merciful, we should be merciful. If God is truthful, we should be truthful. that balance, that spiritual maturity should be seen in our lives. And when it's seen in our lives, we'll find favor with God and we'll have a good reputation just like Jesus did. Put the focus on Jesus there in verse number 4, verse 3 and 4, because that's how Jesus lived His life. Let me give you a verse. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 52. Luke 2, verse number 52. You'll see that Jesus grew in these areas. He grew in wisdom, intellectual ability. He grew in stature, physically speaking. He became a man. And then it says that He grew in favor, word that we're looking at here in Proverbs 3, verse 4, with God and with man. Have you ever thought about what that means? He grew in favor with God and with man. Well, listen to it. He grew in favor with God. He grew spiritually. He grew in favor with man. He grew socially. Does it matter what kind of reputation we have? Notice Proverbs 22, verse 1. Solomon talks about having a good name. And it takes a lot of work to build up a good name. Here are two qualities that you can live out in your life. Proverbs 3, verse number 3, that will help you build a good name, build a good reputation. I've never understood this. I know how it works, but it's hard for me to understand this. It takes a lot of work building up a good name, building a good reputation. And all you have to do is do something stupid one night and you can destroy your reputation. It takes years to build that reputation. I know gospel preachers who have made bad decisions. They have gotten caught up in sin. And all these years they stood behind a pulpit exhorting and preaching the Word of God. And some of the men that I'm talking about have done things that have destroyed their reputation. And they may not ever be able to stand behind a pulpit again because of the bad choices that they made in their life. And here Solomon is encouraging, again, to find that balance, to have those balance, to have those spiritual qualities that define you, being merciful and truthful. And the outcome, verse number 4, it's going to be good. When you look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 3, I also see the golden rule. Matthew 7, verse number 12, for whatsoever things that you would have men do to you, do even to them. The golden rule. But it takes these qualities to live out the golden rule. And when you live out the golden rule, verse number 4, you'll find favor and good understanding with God and your fellow man. Remember, walk in wisdom, Colossians 4, verse 5, toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Solomon is exhorting us how to do that. Obey God. Remember God. Remember who God is. Remember He is a God of mercy and a God of truth. And those same qualities should be seen in our lives. And then number 3, as you consider this third exhortation from verses 5 and 6, we are exhorted to trust God. Read verse 5 and 6 with me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. These are some of my favorite verses. Verses that have helped me. I know verses that have helped you as you go through this life. When you read verse number 5, trust in the Lord and reject all of your ideas. Remember, or trust in the Lord and reject all of your ideas. The book of Proverbs warns us about being guided by our emotions, keeping our emotions in check. But sometimes you see people being guided by their emotions. And when a person is being guided by their emotions, they'll find themselves doing many things that are contrary to the name of Christ, as Saul of Tarsus did at one time. But even Saul says, I've lived in all good conscience. Our emotions are the conscience, for that matter, isn't our infallible guide. Our conscience can be seared with a hot iron. Our emotions can misguide us. Listen to Proverbs 14, verse number 12. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Don't be guided by your emotions, your own ideas. Perhaps you've heard people say, well, I just feel, or I just trust in my heart. Even Solomon says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't trust in yourself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse number 23. All of these passages that we're highlighting remind us of the need of trusting God. As you think about what Solomon is exhorting here, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Trust equals faith. Don't miss that. Trust equals faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The one who trusts in God believes that God exists, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The one who trusts in God also believes that God has given us His inspired Word that gives us spiritual direction. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, 133, the psalmist says, let Thy Word, O Lord, order my steps in Thy Word, and let not sin have dominion over me. That's what God's Word gives us. It gives us that spiritual direction. And we mentioned many times 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. How the Word of God again instructs us and guides us as we go through this life. In Psalm 119, 104, David says, through Thy precepts, Your Word, Your commandments, through Thy precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Some would be blown away by even saying that. There are some things that we are to hate. Exactly. Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 8. There are some things that God hates. When the Lord addresses the seven congregations of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, He hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Well, how do we know to love what God loves and to hate what He hates? We have to turn to His inspired Word. We have to trust and believe in God with all of our heart. We also have to believe that God's Word is inspired from God, literally God breathed. And when we understand those fundamentals, we're going to allow God's Word to guide us and to lead us. But notice with me verse number 6. And isn't it interesting in verse number 6, in all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Underline that. In all of thy ways. I believe Solomon is putting an emphasis on verse number 6 because of what he said in verse number 5. And so when you look at verse number 6, think about this idea. Life will be filled with challenges. Life can be very, very complicated. And as we go through this life, we need to find the right path that will help us deal with life's circumstances, whatever they are. Whatever circumstances you're struggling through, whatever difficulties or challenges, God's Word has the answers. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verse number 3. It doesn't matter if you're thinking about the home. It doesn't matter if you're thinking about parenting or being a good employee. We have to learn to trust God. Husbands, trust God when He says to love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Wives, trust God when He says to submit to your husband in all things as citizens of our nation. We need to trust God when God says that we are to be subject to every ordinance, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. We need to trust God when it comes to salvation, when it comes to baptism, what God is doing. Remember what we said, trust equals faith. In Colossians 2, verse 12, Paul says we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him, listen to it, through the faith of the working of God. That is, when we are baptized, when we are immersed in the watery grave of baptism, we are putting our trust, our faith in the working of God, that God is going to raise us from the deadness of sin. Sometimes as you discuss baptism with religious people, they'll accuse you of believing that there's some type of magic solution in the water. There's no magic solution in the water. We're simply doing and trusting what God says, even when it doesn't make sense. It may not make sense that we have to go down in the water and be immersed in water to contact the blood. That's why it's a matter of trust and faith in God in all of thy ways. In everything that we do, we should acknowledge God. Even when it comes to dealing with our enemies. Notice that application from Matthew 5, verse 43. Now, if we lean upon our own understanding, this is how we would respond. I'm not going to talk to them, and I'm going to find a way to get even with them. I want to hurt them. That's when we're leaning upon our own understanding. But when we trust in God, and when we acknowledge God in all of our ways, according to Matthew 5, beginning at verse number 43, we're not going to respond that way. We're going to do the unthinkable. We're going to bless. We're going to pray. We're going to feed our enemy, even if he is hungry. We're not going to retaliate. Listen, God's ways, God's expectations are much higher than ours. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God told His people, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." I'm reminded of that every time I read Matthew chapter 5 as it relates to loving your enemies. That is not easy, dear friend. That takes a special kind of person. And we're reading about that person here in Proverbs chapter 3. We're reading about the person that obeys God. The person who remembers God. A person who trusts God. Allow these exhortations from Proverbs chapter 3 to change the way that you live your life. As we've already said, you will find favor and good understanding with God and with man. Lord willing, when we come back next week, we'll continue to look at two more exhortations from Proverbs chapter 3. Tonight, if we can help you spiritually speaking in any way, we ask that you come forward right now.